your home. You are home. What a joy it is to stand before you once again. I am grateful for the opportunity to proclaim the word of God. How good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity, sharing in our good deeds, caring for one another, welcoming the stranger in such a way with this radical hospitality that continues to bear fruit 18 years later. How good and pleasant it is to worship in a spirit-filled environment, experiencing the love of Christ and witnessing love for one another. How good and pleasant it is to generously give to a community who goes above and beyond, to shoulder the burden, to provide the means to help meet a medical need. How good and pleasant it is to worship with those that do not casually speak of Jesus, but instead follows him. Journey with me this morning to our New Testament letter. Our text is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. As for those who in the present age are rich, commend them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for the opportunity to worship you. Open our hearts to receive your message this morning. Continue to stir in our hearts worship and the atmosphere and letting us know that you are present with us. We are grateful, O God, for your grace and your mercy. We are yours and we are grateful. And all of God's people said, amen. This morning I want to invite you to ponder for a moment. What is the most important priority in your life? I want you to think about that. There are no right or wrong answers or thoughts. I want you to think, what is the most important priority in your life? Now, are you familiar with The Price is Right? Yes, okay. So for the next few moments, I want you to name out loud what that priority is. It's time to wake up, all right? So what is the most important priority in your life today? Family. What else? Fellowship. I'm hearing a lot of wonderful things. Keep going, keep going. What is the most important priority in your life? God. Friends, we're hearing all of these things. I want to let you know that some time back, a study from the Barner Group, who researches trends on beliefs, say of the Americans who responded to this very question, 51% said family was the most important priority, and 16% said faith. Other priorities besides faith and family that made the list included health and lifestyle, which were 7 and 5%. Money and achieving success was 3%. Friendships, leisure pursuits, and having influence topped off the list at 1%. I happen to be one of those who put faith and family first. And as long as faith is at 16%, I have a little bit of job security. A boy once approached his mother hesitantly, and he said, "Mom, you know the vase that's been in your family for generations?" His mother smiled and nodded. "Well," the kid responded, "this generation just dropped it." At different times within our lives, we put things, you know, stuff as a tangible pursuit and as a priority in our life. But this morning, Scripture is sending us into a different direction. It not only encourages and enlightens us, but also places a spotlight that indicates the impression that those who were the audience of this letter, this pastoral letter, included people of financial means. We are in October, and October tends to be stewardship month. Apparently, the wealthy in this passage were haughty and arrogant. They were superior or disdainful. Their hopes were set on the uncertainty of riches rather than on God. But verse 10 gives us an insight and a clue as to why Paul would call these wealthy people arrogant. It also happens to be one of the most misquoted verses in the New Testament. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." We hear, "for the love of money is the root of evil," but the Scripture tells us it is the root of all kinds of evil. Unfortunately, many who quote verse 10, they leave it at that. They do not continue to go on where verse 10 continues to tell us, and in their eagerness, talking about those who chase money to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Those within the faith, within the text of our passage, were wandering away to pursue wealth and riches. And Paul was urging Timothy to challenge them to have a proper attitude toward money, to redefine their belief in God and reshape how humanity relates to each other. During this month of exploring extravagant generosity, our initial text digs a bit deeper than money. Our initial text in Timothy digs a little deeper than money. It's all about discipleship. Scholars believe that Paul, and I love this, was reminding Timothy in verse 12 of his baptismal vows. He is reminding him to not only fight the good fight of the faith, but to take hold of the eternal life to which he confessed in the presence of witnesses, just like Jesus Christ. See, at Timothy's baptism, he would have made the simple but life-changing confession that Jesus is Lord. It is believed that this statement was the first creed of the church. So when we remember our baptism and we consider our baptism, It is a sign and a seal that we are committed to follow God. This letter is open to the entire body of Christ, not just those with financial means. Today's passage is for us all. This eye-opening text where Paul is reminding Timothy that pursuing wealth is never the way. And the challenge to all of us to realign and redefine this very passage and what it means to do good, what it means to be rich in good works, what it means to be ready to share, and what it means to be generous. It flows from our baptism, where God has called us and sealed us as witnesses to our faith. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, October tends to be stewardship month, the month where we talk about money over and over again for weeks and weeks on end. I am not going to do that. We are called for ministry to extravagantly and generously flow from our hearts because we are disciples of Christ, not because we're expected to give money. This foundation is our baptism, where God has called us and we are witnesses to the world of the faith that we have joined and unified in together. We are disciples of Christ, not just a member of the church. Ministry flows from our hearts as disciples. You know, this ministry I keep talking about, this ministry where we are committed to making God's love real in the world. This ministry to who we are willing to care for no matter what the circumstances. This ministry for us to be God's caretakers of buildings and grounds. This ministry to live out our caring and nurturing ministries according to Paul in this letter. See, we are those who are willing to set our hopes on God, who richly provides everything for our enjoyment. Ministry flows from our hearts. William Barclay was a minister in the Church of Scotland. He said the whole teaching of the Christian ethic is not that wealth is a sin, but that wealth is a great responsibility. Friends, because of this great responsibility and through the unmerited grace and love of God, it is through our baptism that we have the capacity for ministry that flows from our hearts as disciples, because it's even greater than anything we could imagine. Ministry is not something we do. It is who we are. I recently watched several TED Talks on love. All of the talks had one thing in common. They shared and reiterated that love, true love, is the willingness to sacrifice. True love is the willingness to sacrifice, not the capacity, but the willingness to sacrifice for another. We've heard it over and over again in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus Christ, so that everyone who believes in Christ shall what? May not perish, but have eternal life. How good and pleasant it is when we witness ministry flowing from our hearts, flowing from those who are in need inside these four walls and outside of the walls. Remember the story about the kid in the very beginning who dropped the vase? Think of the generations of faithful stories that most likely accompanied that piece of art. Church, we don't want to drop the banner of faith. This faith that has been entrusted to us by God. It is through our proclamation that Jesus is Lord. Again, this month is not about money. It is about discipleship and how God is calling us through God's grace, through our sealed baptism, to go out into the world and to bring God's love to everyone we meet. Discipleship is the love that flows from our hearts. It is not about money. We are disciples of Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. And our baptism seals that for us. It's not a habit. It's not because someone told us to. It's because our parents, if they baptized us as infants, had proclaimed to our community that they will take care of us. If we made the decision ourselves, it's because our baptism sealed and we were witnesses before a world saying, Jesus is Lord. It is not about money. It is about true love of a God who gave his only son. It is about our willingness to be generous. Because of our baptism, because of this outpouring of God's love in us, so we outpour to others. It is not about what? Money. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And through us, ministry pours from our hearts. So listen closely, because I've been saying it the entire time. It is your baptism that seals you. It is your baptism that grounds you. It is your baptism that God's grace flows out of you, because ministry flows from a disciple's heart. It is not about money. Welcome to stewardship. God is calling us to go above and beyond and to see wealth as a gift from God who gives us all good things. Ministry flows from our hearts, and because of that ministry, God has given us a space and a place to go full of grace, full of love, a table that is open to everyone. Even if you have not been baptized, God's grace extends to you and the table is open. Ministry flows from the seat of our hearts out of the baptism that God has called us. Let us pray. God, we are grateful and we are thankful that we can share in this gift, that you remind us that there is one baptism and one God. May we be unified knowing that you have called us as disciples with a heart for your people. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's people said, Amen.